Billabong Bill the Whinger, he wrote the Whinger's book. When everything was going well, he'd say it's going crook. But was he depressed? One of our continuing PhDs asks whether depressive people are more realistic, and is it only the cheery who carry good luck charms on Friday the 13th? Hello, I'm Robin Williams, and today I'm delighted to catch up with Mike Morwood and the archaeological team at the University of Wollongong, whose most famous discovery has been the Hobbit in Flores. And since then, they've dug in the cave and found 5,000 bones and artefacts, small elephants, Komodo dragons and giant tortoises, but few bits of Hobbit. Still, the work goes on. Professor Morwood.
Every year, for the last 10 years, we've been working at Liang Bua, and every year we get bits and pieces of hominid from the site, sometimes just toe bones and wrist bones and so on. But we're digging again this year, and the ultimate aim is to find another complete skeleton, if possible.
In the same place?
It's a very big cave. We've dug probably about 5% of the cave, 12 metres of deposits in the cave, so it's a lot of looking involved. We find thousands, well, tens of thousands of rat, hundreds of thousands of rat bones and other animals and things. And occasionally we find hominid bones as well.
So it's a very big labour. You don't just whip in, see if you can find a human skeleton and whip out again.
60 local Mangarai people working for 2 months with 20 researchers. It's on an industrial scale. We have 2 full-time carpenters to put in shoring. We have generators. We have tea ladies. And we make a huge input contribution to the local economy for wages, purchase of bamboo, coffee, cigarettes, alcohol. The place runs on cigarettes and bananas and alcohol. So it's a big undertaking.
Presumably, it's a cooperative enterprise between yourselves and the Indonesian archaeologists.
We're working closely with people from the National Research Centre for Archaeology, and there is a formal agreement in place between University of Wollongong and that institution. And then we also work with people from the bureaucracy in Jakarta. We work with people from bureaucracy in Kupang, in Bajawa. We work with village heads and so on. It's a very big undertaking. And a lot of my job, I don't dig much anymore, a lot of my job is negotiating permits and permissions and organising the finances, basically.
And what about Sulawesi? How does that come into the story?
Sulawesi is a very old island, and it's when you look at ocean currents, it's probably the source of animals and hominids first getting to Flores. In fact, about 7,000 years ago, a pig is introduced to Flores, and it's the Sulawesi water pig, so obviously there's been a long history of contact there. We've been working in a series of sites in the Wanlai Basin and got very, very old artefacts associated with archaic fauna at some of these sites, and some very, very interesting dates, shall we say. There are definitely pre-modern hominids on Sulawesi, and at the moment, one of our main research thrusts is to find out when hominids first get there, who they were, and their impacts upon local fauna. It's very likely, for instance, if hominids have been on that island for a long time, an endemic species of hominid involved there, as it did on Flores.
You say dates, how far back?
Middle Pleistocene is all I'm prepared to say at present, but old, significantly older than modern humans bowl up on the scene. And my colleague Adam Broom also seems to have evidence from another site, Liang Burong 2, of the arrival of modern humans at the site.
And these, are they like the hobbits that you've also been working on, or would they be a different sort of species?
Good question. Probably early in the piece, Sulawesi was the source area for hominids getting to Flores, and clearly the oldest hominids in both those islands will be the same. But then after, over a long period of isolation, I mean, hominids have been isolated on Flores for about 1 million years, okay, and almost certainly on Sulawesi for as long, if not longer, you can have sort of independent evolution and speciation and development of at least 2 different species, maybe more, on these islands.
Now, given in the last year there's been the most incredible eruption of discoveries in South Africa, in China, and in various parts of Asia, of lines of human beings which seem to be, to some extent, confounding the conventional story. Okay, it's still out of Africa, but more than once. Have you refined your ideas of where maybe the Hobbit came from?
The main thrust of our work in Flores now is to find direct skeletal evidence for the ancestors of Homo floresiensis. Okay, we've got sites that are 1 million years old, lots of fossils, lots of artefacts. Finding actual hominid remains will answer a lot of the queries that people have been asking about Homo floresiensis.
That's 1 million years old. At what stage did people first leave Africa, according to the latest theories? 1.5 million years before now?
There's a site called Dimonisi, which has got a date of about 1.7, 1.8 for a sort of Homo erectus-like hominid. And that's now the minimum age for hominins out of Africa. Okay, we may be dealing with much earlier hominins out of Africa. Homo forensensis, for instance, has very, very archaic traits that appear to predate the emergence of Homo erectus.
What about the Kimberley? Why are you working there as well? You know, Western Australia in the north, okay, it's not terribly far from Indonesia.
Well, Southeast Asia, just offshore from the Kimberley, and the Kimberley is a likely beachhead for the first people arriving here. It's an area I'm very familiar with, and it's got a very long rock art sequence, and I don't like to leave things undone. And worked there 15 years ago, and we never cracked the age of the Kimberley rock art sequence, and that's something I would like to do or be part of.
Well, of course, in Flores, you go to a cave. That seems a likely place to start. Now, the Kimberley is so gigantic and so tropical. Where would you start there?
Kimberley is the size of Switzerland. We have 400,000 square kilometres, and basically we're working along the north coast because we have a good working relationship with the Kandawal Aboriginal community and Kalaburu Aboriginal community. And I guess it's just a question of ease of access. It's also a very exciting area, and the coastal area is where people may have bowled up. We're working on the Lawley and Mitchell River areas.
In caves?
Caves and open sites. We've got sand sheets in the Kimberley, and possibly the earliest evidence for occupation may come from these sand sheets. We're getting some interesting dates now. We've got the earliest dates for North Kimberley occupation now from last year's work. We've got a long technological sequence. The stone artefacts change over time. We're working with a bloke called Simon Haberley from the Australian National University, who's doing paleo-environmental stuff. Okay, so we've got this interesting sequence. It would be really useful now to be able to plug the rock art sequence to find out where it fits and why art changes over time.
Yeah, some of the oldest rock art in the world, isn't it?
The oldest date for rock art in Australia certainly is from Southern Kimberley, from Carpenter's Gap, a date of about 42,000 minimum age for a section of rock paintings that have fallen into the deposits. So it's very likely that the first people to bowl up in areas like the Kimberley and Arnhem Land included artists, including rock artists.
It's a busy life, isn't it? How on earth do you manage to get it all in during an average year?
I don't. I don't manage to get it all in an average year. They're conflicting priorities. But I guess at this stage, a real point of importance for me is the younger next generation researchers coming through who I'm working with. And one of the reasons for working in the Kimberley was to introduce younger researchers to a politically and logistically difficult area so that hopefully they'll be able to continue the research when I'm no longer working.
It's good that this sort of work is taking off again, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a period when nothing much was happening in Australian archaeology, and now this new generation appears to have come in, and there's new techniques, new dating techniques, as Burton Zenobi will tell you, which has given new life. And I think we're going to push back significantly that the time depth of human occupation in Australia.
Professor Mike Morwood, University of Wollongong, still tracking the Hobbit in Flores.